I know most of you have been there, and those many married people were there themselves. But have you ever been at a wedding and then the bride doesn't pitch? Oh. Never had that. Who's ever been at a wedding where the bride was very late? Some of her own. Okay, husbands, can we just, who of your wives were late for the wedding? You know, two. Ladies, well done, well done. But isn't it, you know, when you're at a wedding and you're sort of expecting the bride now to come and everybody's sort of standing there, you know, waiting, you know, beforehand. These days they have lawn games and stuff to keep you busy so that you don't notice how late they are. But if you're standing waiting and then someone says, she's here. And then there's this groot geskarrel and stuff happens and people start running for chairs and suddenly there's order. But that anticipation, waiting for the bride. The funny thing is nobody cares about the groom. He's there already, so he's not late, so we're not worried about them. But there's this anticipation for the bride to come. Most ladies are going, what does she look like? You know, what does the dress look like? How's the hair looking? And all that kind of stuff. And I see a similar sort of weight in a portion of Scripture, which I just want to speak about this morning, where I see, you know, that waiting, that anticipation for the bride. And that Scripture is Romans 8:19, and it says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Do you hear that? You know, creation is waiting with eager longing for the bride to come. There's this anticipation. The TPT says it very nicely. It says, the entire universe is standing on tippy toe. When last have you done that? Yes, I don't think I can do it. Yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. The whole universe is standing on tippy toe, waiting to see the sons and daughters of God being revealed. There's this expectation, nah, for this. It's like a mom and a dad, you know, if the wife has now carried this pregnancy and it's almost there, and you kind of, you know, you want to meet this little person. It's coming. And then suddenly that meeting happens. But there's this creation has this expectation to see the sons and daughters of God revealed. Now, I think sometimes we don't even have that same expectation. Sometimes as the sons and daughters of God, those that has been saved, those that Jesus have plucked from hell, walk on this earth like it's just normal. But think of this. Creation is actually looking at you going, come on. Now, as this portion of Scripture is written in Romans 8, now Romans 8 in itself is loaded. Romans 8 is one of those chapters what, if you start reading it, you know, the Holy Spirit comes and He starts speaking to you about a few things that you need to do and He wants to engage you in your lifestyle even. So it's a very powerful and probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Romans 8. Look, it challenges the living daylights out of me, and that's a good thing. But it's good to read. Now, the portion that is writing here now is where creation waits for the revealing of man because of what Adam and Eve did, it was subject to decay. It wasn't by its own will. It was because of the sin of man that creation now finds its place where it has decay and stuff happening, which God did not intend when Adam and Eve were still there. And now creation is going, man, can this just pass? It's like creation is saying, can the bride just now pitch? We want to get on with things. We want to step into the fullness of what God has for us. And if I think back, you know, if creation has that longing and it knows in the beginning what God created it to be, can you imagine the longing to see and to walk again in what God has in store for us? So creation has this expectation. It knows the day is coming where the sons and daughters of God will be revealed. will be, those things will unfold. Now, Romans 8, if you go read that, is one of those chapters that will help us walk in such a way that we will see that revealing of God. Because, man, if you walk by the Spirit of God, if you walk and you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, then you walk in a different way. Then everybody has to recognize, creation has to recognize a son or daughter of God is walking on this earth. There's anointing on this person's life. Why? Because they are walking by the Spirit of God. And I want to encourage you, go read Romans 8. Take it this, read it slowly because it's loaded. You have to take some time. Now, Romans 8 starts like this, and I know we all quote the scripture sometimes. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, is this not good news? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, there is nothing. If you are in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. There's nothing that can remove you from that place. I guess you can let it go. But man, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you read the Bible, you see it's that hiding in this. They are hidden in Christ. They are, you know, it's where that shadows of His wings are covering them, where He is the one. He's their mighty fortress, the place where they stay. They take refuge. They hide in. That is where I am when I am Christ Jesus, because I know that by the blood of Jesus, I have been bought with a price. Therefore, I am secure in that place, knowing that nothing, no condemnation can come against me. Now, what's this enemy's strategy in most of our lives? He condemns you. He comes, he accuses you. He says, you're not this, you're not that. You should, and he goes on and on, and he got the list. Remember, he's got 2,000 years experience. He's got a lot of ammo. And he's worked with many people, and he knows how to get to you. He knows which buttons of yours to press. And sometimes I think we must just remind him that, hey, excuse me, I'm in Christ Jesus. It's not going to fly. Okay? But there's no condemnation for who? For those that are in Jesus. But also for those who walk according to the Spirit. And it's not a small spirit with a small S. It's a big S. It's the Holy Spirit. In other words, As I am in Christ, as I walk out this life, I walk by the Spirit of God. Why? Because I'm the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. And as I commune with the Lord, as I commune with Jesus, so I commune with the Holy Spirit, and because they are three in one, and they dwell in me, and as I walk in that, my life looks different. And because I'm walking in the Spirit, there can be no condemnation. But what happens if I walk in the flesh? The devil is there. He will accuse you, and he'll be quick. So, man, you just do one thing wrong, and that for that next week, you will hear it. And you will struggle to pray, probably not have confidence to go to small group or even come to church, because you feel so bad about what you've done or whatever, and he will use that opportunity to condemn you. And when he comes and he condemns you, we normally draw back, instead of hiding under the shadow of his wing, where there's no condemnation. You know, if the accuser comes and he accuses you, the most important thing you can do is to repent. And say, but Lord, I have sinned. And come back to that place. If you know you've messed up, I know none of you do, so it's not a problem. But if you, and when you mess up, you know, isn't it true that so often we run? We feel bad. We. It's interesting to see when people do something wrong, a lot of the times the first thing they run away, except for their quiet time and stuff like that, is the people that God has placed around them will actually have the boldness and say, but what is happening? Can we talk about this? I see something is different. Can I pray for you? But they avoid those things. Those that walk by the Spirit of the Lord, they will be those that will walk in the space where there's no condemnation. And that's such a powerful picture, even in my mind. You know, the journey that I guess we're on to learn how the Holy Spirit walks in this earth. But we are called to do that. Now that word therefore, he says, now there is therefore no condemnation. And that therefore, if you see that scripture, it's obviously a connecting word. So you have to read the portions of scripture in front of that. And what Paul is actually saying there is that you have been set free from sin. He speaks about the body of death. Who will deliver me from the body of death? Because Paul knew and experienced how this body that he dwells in wants to do everything except the will of the Lord. How he has this constant battle fighting this flesh. And he even writes and he says, sometimes the stuff that I want to do, I don't do. And those that I do, I don't do. So he knew the struggle, like all of us knows the struggle in wanting to walk purely before the Lord. This space where he says, listen, who will deliver me? And then he says, through Jesus Christ, I am delivered. And it's such a powerful, you know, in the worship and even the prayer beforehand this morning, so confirmed this word for me this morning that we have been set free. And we need to walk in the joy of that salvation. Because if I'm going to live under the joy of what the flesh brings and the body brings, the joy is not much. But when I recognize and understand what the Spirit is doing, there's a hop and a skip and a jump in my step. Then I have a smile on my face when I'm going to work. Knowing the boss is going to be cheesed this morning. And I go, this is a cheesy smile. More a boss. You see, the devil would love for us to walk in that body of death. He would love to keep us in that place of sin. But God has set us free. Listen, and if there's one thing that drops in your spirit this morning, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are free. You are completely free. You've been delivered from this body of death, this sin that will separate you eternally from God. And you can walk that freedom out right here, right now. You are, after all, a new creation. All things have passed away. You are not that anymore. Everything has become new. And I know for some of us sitting here, you know, you're probably saying, Kobus, this is basic stuff, man. We know this stuff. But sometimes it is a good thing to visit the foundations of where we come from. You know, Gary Player years ago in an interview, and I mean, he's now old and stuff. Unfortunately, that happens to most of us. You know, you do become old. But they asked him, why do you consistently play so well? And his answer was, because I do the basics well. I keep practicing doing the basics. And even for us as Christians, as we pursue the Lord, sometimes we just need to pause and revisit our foundation, the basics of why we are doing what we are doing. If I ignore the fundamental foundations of my salvation, I will actually start trusting my own flesh for the way forward, because I've got this. I've been a Christian for long. I don't sin anymore. I'm okay. I can walk this out. It's not that you think it that way, but that's kind of the attitude that comes from that place. But as I revisit and look at where I'm coming from, I can just go, like we did this morning, thank you, Jesus, that I am saved, that I am free, that I have been delivered, that I have your Holy Spirit dwelling in me, making his home within me, living in me, leading me, guiding me, teaching me everything that I should say. When I'm in any situation, your Spirit takes me further. It's not in this flesh anymore. I don't have to look to this world and go, what the heck's going on? Because I can trust the Holy Spirit as he walks this out in me. It gets me to that place where he knows his future, he knows his plans, and he's leading me there. He's my shepherd that takes me by the hand and says, come, let's walk. I'll take you to where the green pastures are. Even if it's through that valley of the shadow of death, he can take me there. I don't know where it is. Most of the life is about trying to figure out where we're going. And here, we can just rest. But if I'm going to ignore the fundamentals of my salvation, I will try and get there by my own. You cannot overcome in this world without Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has already overcome this world. So stop trying to make everything work. Trust him fully to lead you in this path of righteousness. Romans 8:15 says this, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You know, we quote that second part of that scripture sometimes. But here's the thing. I have not received the spirit of bondage. If I am in fear, then I'm yielding to that spirit of bondage. If I am yielding to a spirit of fear, then I'm back in bondage. Because I am receiving a truth from a false source. What does a liar do well? And then we expect the liar to tell the truth. So do we trust this world? If Satan is the lord of this world, do we trust him to give us the truth? It sometimes surprises me when we seek counsel, but we seek it from people that are from another kingdom. How can someone that is in another kingdom, because there's two kingdoms here, it's the kingdom of our Lord and God, and the devil's wannabe kingdom. And then I go for counsel there, and then I wonder why it doesn't work, or it clashes, or it brings other stuff into my life. You see, when I seek counsel, get it from the Lord. You know, when we need wisdom, when we need insight, when we need, you know, when you're praying about stuff, direction, where to go, or make a change, or, you know, things that you want to do, please do me a favor and pray about it first. Because if I look at my Father, he is very keen to speak to each one of us. Just take the time to cry out, Abba, Father. Papa, help. It's a good prayer to pray. If you don't know how to pray, and you just say, Papa, help, he will help. He's amazing in that way. You have received the spirit of adoption. You are now God's sons and daughters. You have been set apart for amazing things. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. This is basics. Can I remind you who you are this morning? You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You were called out of darkness, not supposed to dwell there anymore, into his marvelous light. But if I yield to a spirit of fear, then I'm definitely not in light. So I think sometimes we just need to discern who's busy operating in my life, because we still have an enemy of our souls that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And when he comes, you better say, I'm of the kingdom of light. And you know the authority that you carry? That you can say, go in Jesus' name. See, God desires for us to be this holy nation. God desires for us to be this royal priesthood. He desires for us to be this chosen race. He desires for us now, in this season, right now where we are, to walk in this earth in this way. That's who we are. And I can tell you this much, the devil is super scared that we do this, that we understand this, and we walk in this way in this earth. He is, after all, a defeated foe. And when the sons and the daughters of God is revealed, when they step into those things that God has called them, he has to go. That place where your foot shall tread, I will give it to you. So go tread a bit. Nie drijven nie. And the wildness. But go and take the authority that God has given you and go to work. Now don't go stand in front of your boss and go, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Just, you know, let wisdom also be part of your journey. If you lose your job and you come speak to me, I'm going to go, ah, man. But you know, when you have a tough time at work, and I don't know why I'm going to share this, but maybe you should go in one morning early, take oil, anoint your place of work, pray over it, pray over the desk, speak a blessing over those people that are giving you a hard time. And trust God to bring the shift in the workplace. Because let's be honest, we can't do it. You see, God is calling us. Now, this scripture says to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us. I checked a few translations, and there's to proclaim, to declare, to show forth and display the excellencies, the praises, his virtues and his perfections to this world. That is what God is calling us to do, to show forth the glory of our Father. And as we walk by the Spirit, as His Spirit dwells in us, as that light comes into my life, I can show it forth with great boldness because He dwells in me. Because that's the calling on my life, is to show forth, to proclaim, to declare the glories of God. Do not let the devil rob you of the testimonies that you have. When you speak to someone and the Holy Spirit prompts you to share that testimony of the similar situation, whatever, don't go, that wasn't so look. Share it. Proclaim the glories of God. Tell people of what Jesus has done in your life. Share how you were lost, how he saved you, and how things have changed. If you're like me, I was a proper goody two-shoes. I never did anything wrong. At least so I think. I grew up in a religious house. We went to church. Okay, we were dragged to church sometimes. But my dad said, we're going to church. And you know, I never felt life at that point. And then I met a young lady, and her mom led me to Jesus. And I remember that night when I sat there in that lounge. I can still remember it vividly. And she said to me, Quibus, what happens if you die tonight? Where will you go, heaven or hell? And I was like, heaven? And then the following question shook me a bit, and she said, but why would he let you into heaven? And I went, because I'm Oluk. I go to church regularly, and I actually, in that moment, realized, I don't know. Why would he let me into heaven? And then she actually explained the gospel to me. And for the first time, having grown up in church, I understood that I have to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and that he died for me. And that night I was born again. I received him as my Lord, and my life changed right there. And you know, it was radical. I lived from that moment for Jesus. If you say, Jesus, I was there. My skateboard, yes, I used to do that. I used to have a thing that written that my brother wrote, and we printed it on the bottom of our skateboards, and essentially it said, radically saved, with a whole bunch of other stuff. And you know, that phrase stuck with me. I think Carmen sang a song, radically saved. If you don't know who Carmen is, Google it. But Carmen sang that song, that we are radically saved. And you know, I cling to that. I wasn't just saved. You know, the fact that I didn't walk this road where, you know, I did lots of wrong stuff and killed people or robbed people or did weird stuff, and where everybody looks like, you know, you were a bad sinner. Yeah, I was a bad sinner. Even though I was in church. And he still chose to save me. And I felt, sort of at one point, I felt my testimony is not worth much because I don't have much to tell. But I tell you, my testimony, I realize, is as powerful as someone that was saved from the pits, from drugs and everything else. It's as powerful as that, because he's how he loves that person that's there, or me that was in this pit. It doesn't matter. We were both in pits, and he still saved me. And I am free. I have been delivered. And my job now, according to the scripture, is to proclaim the glories of God right now. Psalm 53 has this, starts off, and it says, the fool says in his heart there is no God. And it kind of paints this picture about people rejecting God. But verse 2, we see something different. In verse 2, we see God looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. God is looking for those that are seeking Him, who are wanting to understand what His purposes and plans are at this time. Are you seeking Him? Then knows He's looking down from heaven. He's looking at you. I want to say, with joyful expectation to see how this journey is going to pan out, how He's going to walk that with you. So seek God with your whole heart. Seek Him with your whole heart. I want to say, you know, like creation, almost stand on tippy toe, trying to see where God is moving, trying to just, you know, get close to Him. When your quiet time, don't go, I'm here, Lord. Made it. I know many of you are not morning people. But say to your flesh in the morning, oi, flesh, on your tippy toes, we're going to the King. Come with before Him with expectation. You know, maybe change up your quiet time a bit, and sitting in the same spot that you sit for the last 20 years or 5 years or whatever, maybe change it up. Go sit in your bath. It's a different environment. Go sit outside. You laugh. Go sit in the bath. Go try it. Just go plonk in your bath and sit. Don't put water in. You still have to go to work. But change your environment. Put on worship music. Pray in the Spirit. There's so much that you can do to experience this tippy-toe experience in God's presence, where you're just expecting to see what He wants to do. Let the world see your life. Let the world see your life before God. Let it be normal to share what He is doing. The one who saved you. The one who set you apart. Let the joy of your salvation start bubbling over. You are free. Nudge someone quickly. Say, you are free. At least look like you look like you're free. Okay? Say, listen, you are free. Let the joy of your salvation and my salvation, let it spread like a wildfire in this city that God has placed us. Let the glory of God fill the earth. You know, we are His sons and daughters. We are here right now. Let that glory go. So why am I telling you this? Because I want you to see, to walk in, experience the plans that God has for you now. Because He's the one who is the author and the finisher of your faith. And He ain't done until He's done. And you will die when He's done with your life. He's not just the author of your faith, but He's also the one that finishes it. He will take it to the full. He is the one that leads us in the paths of righteousness. So if you're wondering how to walk this road out, let Him lead you in those paths of righteousness. But find your hiding place right there in His presence. So saints, there's a waiting, an expectation. I believe not just from the earth, but from the angels, wanting to see the sons and daughters of God being revealed. I think, you know, at this time, the angels are standing ready. If you move, they're moving with you. They are expectant. They know what God is about to do. So imagine their joy, their expectation as we take that step in to walk in what God is calling us to do. We can stay stationary. We can do nothing. We can serve Him from this place, I guess. But our God's on the move. He's going to do some stuff in the next season. And as we just lean into that, as we experience and walk with Him, we'll see God move in great ways in our lives. Let's not miss what He has in store for us in this year. Maybe this morning, you just need to revisit your foundations again. And remember, you know, why you are here. Why you are here. Why do you pray? Why do you worship? Why do you read your Bible? It's because you are saved. And that is enough. You know, I was speaking to someone the other day and I said, you know, why do I worship the Lord? I can have many reasons, but for me there's one that stands out in particular. It's because He's worthy. Not because what He's done for me. He saved me by grace. I did nothing to earn that. But I worship Him now simply because He's worthy, and that's good enough. Even if I feel like I'm not in a space where I will worship because He's worthy. So revisit the foundations of your faith this morning. Maybe go sit this week and just clarify again in your mind and in your spirit for yourself, why are you doing this? Are you in love with the one who saved you? And then rise up. Proclaim those excellencies. Proclaim the promises, the glories of God wherever you go. Listen, I know some days it's going to be tough. And that's okay. Because the Spirit still dwells in you, even in the tough days. And He can lead you in that. I want to end with this scripture. Romans 8:28, which we also quote a lot, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purposes. You know how many times I've been in situations and then I see this happening where I think everything has gone off the rails, and then my God comes and He turns it around for the good. How probably some of the toughest events in my life, how later He uses that so powerfully as He ministers to others through me. And I go, wow. You know, sometimes we have to go through something to be able to have empathy with people in the same situation. And then in that empathy, it's not that you fall apart with them, it's that you can actually minister God's grace and His love in that situation and in that season. All things work together for good for those who love Him. If you are in love with Jesus Christ, trust Him with everything, with every breath, with your future, your plans. Just trust Him. Lay down everything that you are. I believe as we do that this year, we will unlock the future that God has in store for us. That we will unlock through our obedience and our walking with Him things we have not seen. Our God is ready to do incredible stuff. We just need to have that pressing in, that faith to push after Him and say, God, show me those things. So let's stand.